In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today I would like to extend and explain the sermon which I gave last week, and on two topics in particular. The first is concerning the subjection of wives to their husbands. The doctrine that wives must be subject to their husbands is very unpopular today because of the general infection of women's liberation. Women's liberation came to us originally from the French Revolution, and it was picked up and promoted by the communists in the 19th and the 20th centuries. It is essentially from hell. And it is contrary to the teaching of the Catholic Church, and also, of course, to the teaching of sacred scripture. However, a woman's obligation to be subject to her husband does not require her, first, to obey him in matters which are contrary to faith or morals. Obviously, there is no authority on earth that could possibly oblige us to obey something which is contrary to faith or morals. For we must obey God first. And so no obedience is even due to a command which is not of God. Second, she would not be required to obey him in commands which either exceed his authority or which are manifestly contrary to reason. An example of the first case of a command which would exceed the authority of a husband would be the case of a husband commanding a wife to contribute to the general household money which she made on the side by sewing. A wife is not obliged to make money that she makes on the side by her own private job. She's not obliged to contribute that to the general household. She may if she wants, but she's not obliged to. And so a husband could not, therefore, oblige her to by a command. That would exceed his authority. However, he could command her not to work on the side. That he could do. An example of the second case of something manifestly contrary to reason. A husband could not rightfully or validly command his wife to wear a paper bag over her head. This would be obviously against her dignity as wife and mother, and is manifestly contrary to reason. Attention must also be paid to those situations in which the husband has abandoned or virtually abandoned the management of the home, and where the wife and mother must become the acting head of the house. This is the case of husbands who are drunkards, or who have perhaps gone insane and do not realize it, or who simply have no care for the duties that they have as husbands. Many times there are men who go out every morning and make money and bring it home and give it to their wives to run the household with, but have no care of the government of the home, raising the children, making the decisions of the home, both spiritual decisions for the discipline of the children and the material and temporal decisions for the house. And they busy themselves with a perpetual worship of TV, usually football games. They sit in front of that and drink beer, and they simply have no care of the government of the household. In that case, the wife and the mother must become the acting head of the house, and she must make decisions which ordinarily she would not make. See, these are all explanations and footnotes of the general principle that wives must be subject to their husbands. Now, based on this, Wives should not say to their husbands, well, you know, actually you're insane, but you don't realize it. I could see a lot of wives saying that. I said that to two husbands after the last Mass, and they said, my wife has been telling me that for years. But, no, there are cases where a man may have lost his mind and cannot govern or gives commands which are not able to be fulfilled. And in that case, the wife would have to be the head of the house. What is to be deplored, however, is the modern attitude that husband and wife are equals. They are not equals. The only way in which man and woman are equals are in as much as they both have the same human nature. But they are not equals in the roles that are assigned to them by God the Creator. Now, the next explanation I would like to give is concerning public schools, colleges, and universities. The rules concerning these matters are the general rules concerning occasions of sin. The first rule concerning occasions of sin is this, that it is a mortal sin to place yourself, or worse, your child, in a voluntary and proximate occasion of mortal sin. For example, if you took your child, your family, to a dirty movie. That's a mortal sin. Even if you don't consent to pleasure from what you see, you commit a mortal sin by voluntarily putting yourself in a proximate occasion of mortal sin. Now, an occasion of mortal sin is considered a proximate occasion if we are likely to consent to mortal sin by frequenting that occasion. On the other hand, an occasion of mortal sin is remote if we are not likely to consent to mortal sin by frequenting that occasion. And, very important principle, what is proximate for one person may be remote for another. Take this example. Let's say a man is giving a very bad lecture promoting abortion. A priest could go to that lecture and not be in the slightest way moved by what the man says. In that case, it's not even a remote occasion of sin for him. But an impressionable young person of, say, 17 who does not have the faith or who is weak in his or her faith could very well be misled by such a man. And that would be a proximate occasion of mortal sin, which would be the loss of faith, which is worse even than impurity. The second rule is that if a proximate occasion of sin is necessary and unavoidable, we must take the means to make it remote. Take this example. You're on a plane, on a long flight, and they show a movie, and the movie's dirty. And this is a real problem, a very real problem that comes up a lot. You might be 5 feet in front of the screen, and there's things on the screen that are abominable. But that's the only way to get where you're going. And you're sitting there, you can't move your seat, you're locked in, the plane is full. You cannot avoid seeing that. There you have a proximate occasion, but one that is necessary and unavoidable. What do? You make it remote. You must look away, you must say prayers if necessary, read a book, whatever you must do in order to remove that temptation from yourself. But if you cannot make that occasion remote, then you are obliged to avoid it at all costs, even to the point of losing your livelihood or even your life. For For example, if a man had a job in which he had to travel a lot in planes where he saw those bad movies, and he was consenting to mortal sin time and time again because he could not make that a remote occasion, then he must quit his job, even if it means to him reduction to poverty for the rest of his life. Whatever the consequences may be, he must quit his job because it is more important that he go to heaven and that he stay in the state of sanctifying grace than that he have money. That is the rule. Now, public schools, colleges, and universities, as a general rule, are proximate occasions of mortal sin. Public schools, on the primary and secondary levels, expose children to loss of faith and morals. They are direct scandal. They indoctrinate. They teach sex education, secular humanism, evolution, values clarifications, which is another word for immorality. They teach the kids that it's all right to have alternate lifestyles, as they call them, which used to be called sodomy. Furthermore, the godlessness and the immorality of the other students constitutes a proximate occasion of mortal sin. The other students are listening to rock music. They idolize diabolical rock heroes and stars. They are talking about dirty movies. They use dirty language. Their own lifestyles are putrefied from the moral point of view. And there is a proximate occasion of mortal sin there for a child. Colleges and universities provide the same occasions. Life in dormitories is indescribably immoral. The attitudes of the students are liberal and godless. The professors are equally liberal and godless. And the normal product of these institutions is a liberal and godless young man or young lady. Now, sometimes these occasions can be made remote, but only under very special circumstances. With regard to grammar school and high school, I don't see any circumstance whereby those occasions may be made remote, because a child is so impressionable and the indoctrination is so intense. I just cannot conceive of one today where it would be legitimate to send your child to a public school. Sometimes, however, there are circumstances on the level of higher education whereby the occasion of sin becomes remote. If, for example, the child is very well founded in the faith, is very strong in the faith, is very pious, is not living in a dormitory, that is an absolute condition, but is going back and forth from home, and where they are taking courses in which there is usually not an attack on the faith, such as engineering courses, math, most sciences, and so forth. However, if they're taking what is known as liberal arts courses, history, English, and the like, those are the places where usually there is a bombardment of the Catholic faith day in and day out. So every case is different, and every case must be examined on its own merits. But there are occasions when people can do that. But what is to be deplored is the worldliness of Catholics who send their children to these institutions without any care of the dangers that they propose to faith and morals. The Jews in the Old Testament were punished very severely by God by the very destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and the removal of the Jews into Babylon for 70 years. They were destroyed in that way for the fact that, among others, that they gave their children over to sacrifice to the idol Moloch. And parents who send their children to these schools are doing the same thing. They're sacrificing their children, that is, the faith and the morals of their children, to the idol of human respect, career, and money. Worse is the attitude of Catholics who are aware of the dangers to faith and morals, but who send their children anyway, either because they are too inconvenienced to send them to a Catholic school like the one that we run here, or too inconvenienced to homeschool them, or in the case of higher education, the parents consider their children's careers as more important than their faith. Unless these parents repent, those parents are going straight to hell when they die, and their children with them. For our Lord said, "But he that shall scandalize one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone should be hanged about his neck, and that he should be drowned in the depth of the sea." Words of God. For parents who expose their children to the evils of the public school and of colleges and universities in which their faith and morals will be corrupted. Our faith is a faith of martyrs. The Catholic faith is the one true religion of the one true God, and its strength rests on the deep adherence by faith on the part of Catholics to its sacred truths. The martyrs gave up their lives for these truths. They were eaten by animals for these truths, because man's possession of God is more important than his possession of this world. This is the spirit of Catholicism. Shame and condemnation and damnation to those parents who send their children to the guillotine of the possession of this world at the expense of their possession of God. But praise, reward, victory, and eternal salvation to those parents who refuse to sacrifice their children to the Moloch of riches and human respect, but who sacrifice their own time, their own efforts and money to give their children what we have provided for them here in a Catholic school, or through a Catholic education in homeschooling, which requires, in many cases, more sacrifice, more effort and time on the part of the parents. Praise to them. Praise, reward, victory, and eternal salvation to them who have preserved their children from the corrosive influences of modern education. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.